I came particularly for this conference to give you instructions that you will practice so that you will become. The significance of a meeting is not necessarily captured in the walls where the meetings took place. The significance of the meeting is not necessarily in the manifestations that is in that meeting. Now that is very, very important. But everything happened to meet is who you become thereafter that will amount to the greatest profit you receive from the meeting. If you attend meetings and you don't become at the end of the day, you have not made so much in that meeting. The reason we come together is so that we can be built up, and as we go to our words, we will have the stature to colonize those words, those territories, and make them become the kingdom of God. If all we focus on is what happens in the auditorium, we have lost it. The Bible said Jesus called them to be with him so that he might send them. A point comes when it's necessary to be taught, to be enhanced, to be improved upon, to be equipped. But beyond the enhancement that you receive while you are with him is when he sends you out there, that comes the profiting of the kingdom. And this is an emphasis that we have to pay very rigid attention to, because if we don't, we will grow in number, but we will not have the needed influence to colonize our world. This is why the number of Christians are increasing, but the territories are growing in the hands of the kingdom. We take all the time bragging and shouting about things that don't matter. But the things that we should do, which is the canon, the carving out of our responsibility in the kingdom, we are not fulfilling them and we are not. A believer has a burden for prayer for 6 months. That burden dissipates. He didn't attend to it. Then he has the audacity to come to church and is arguing with another person on the subject of prayer. And then he is opening 10, 15 scriptures and explaining the difference between praying in tongues and praying in the spirit. Why? He had a burden for prayer 6 months. He didn't attend to it. Failing in responsibility, but manifesting in cerebrality, making everybody think he knows much. You know it. The proof that you know in this kingdom is when it is reflected to you. Spiritual knowledge is different from mental knowledge. Spiritual knowledge impacts you and makes you become what you know. It's not something you talk about, it's who you are. But a lot of us are not. We are just talking. It's a crisis. So this instruction we bring to you, go back, look at them and practice them. Your life will change forever. Your life will change. I tell you, as a man who has traveled and pursued a lot of things, as a youth come 2012, I bought every book of Maizuru that I saw. Every book, they went to the back. I emptied my pocket. I bought books. I didn't have transport. I will have to call somebody to send money to me to leave where I am, because I can't afford to read a book. But I bought books, stuck them on my shelf. I didn't read anyone. People came to my house, they saw books, they were like, oh boy. I didn't read one. What we do, the way we deceive ourselves. I will gather messages. I collected messages upon message people. I stocked my laptops with messages. When I collected the messages, I gave them seed for collecting the messages. I piled them up in the laptop. I didn't listen to them. And when I eventually began to listen, I was listening to messages and scoring them to preach. So anything I hear, I go and create, I write it down. I remember it to tell somebody else. Is that not what you do on Facebook? You have to say, oh boy, you forward it. You share the message that you have not meditated on. You share the message that you have not brooded upon. You think it's your friend that needs to hear it. You are hearing things. You go and quote and tag 10 people. Come and hear. Meanwhile, that thing doesn't last for 5 minutes, a spirit man. There are generations that violate instructions. In the days of the fast, they sat on the little they knew until they became what they knew. And everywhere they went to, it was a proof that they knew it indeed. It's not a generation where everybody is talking about righteousness, but you can't find it in their lives. It's not a generation where everybody is talking about power, but you can't find it in their lives. They knew little, but they dwelt on the little they knew until they were the proof that what they knew was real. We talk about Jesus. If people came to live with you for 1 week, can they see Jesus? Paul say, be followers of me as I am the follower of Christ. In talking about Jesus, if you live with Paul for a long time, you will know that this man is like an immortal being. He will not tell you to pray, he will not tell you fast, but you will find yourself fasting. It was when I met Apostle, a lot of things began to make sense to me. Apostle, you will go to his house, he will never tell you, come, let's pray. But if you go there, after 2 days, you will start fasting. Nobody will invite you to fast. Nobody will invite you to pray. But if you go there, after 2 days, you will start fasting. You will start praying. But when you come around the ambience, you know that this one carries God. He's quoting the Bible. God is emitted out of his being. I knew that was it. And there is a way to get there. You don't wait. You don't hope for it. You consciously have responsibility to get there. There were messages I heard. I thought I knew them. I carried them and preached them. Brother, when God helped my heart, I went back to those messages. Now I listen to one message 5 times. I don't run and say I've heard all these things. Sometimes I listen to one message 5 times. I sat for Solomon's messages alone for 8 months with fasting and prayer. I will hear one message for 3 days. And as I'm hearing, I hear something I thought I heard, and I heard something different. And then after I hear it for a while, the spirit of the message then touched me. So I don't hear messages to remember them anymore. That's why I come for meetings now. It's difficult for me to write. Now, this is not, I'm not recommending it. Write so that you pay attention. Don't get it wrong. I understood that thing is more about the spirit than the message in the head. I hear one message now for 3 days. And when I'm done, the thing enters me on it and propels me. Sometimes a little clip of 10 minutes, I hear it 5 times. I now discover that I don't need to memorize to remember. When I hear it for a long time, even myself speak them. I now knew what Jeremiah meant when he said, I found thy word and I did eat them, and they became the joy and rejoicing of my heart. He didn't remember the words. The words became joy. A man heard something, it was joy that came out of it. He dwelt on it. We are a generation that don't pay attention to instruction. All this Rema putting will not change your life. I'm saying this because God wants to raise an army. And everybody must understand his place. Everybody must be built in this kingdom. The crisis of this revival, first among many things, is that a lot of people may be carried in the wave, but they may not be established in God. They say they are going on, but everybody is calling your name, but you have no standing with God. And after a while, when the wave is lifted, very few will stand. We must be rooted in the spirit. We must be rooted. I went back to the hotel room yesterday, and the Holy Ghost kept troubling me to do a recap of what I taught. It now dawned on me that many people didn't hear what was taught. It dawned on me that many people didn't hear what was taught. You were there. When you were there. When you were there. When you were there. When you were there. One of the greatest frustrations of spiritual reality is what you are saying is what you can't do. People run to you, they are struggling with masturbation, but they are preachers. Talking about holiness, talking about righteousness, but they are masturbating. They are fornicating, they don't know why. They go and cry back. And then when somebody came to me and said, when he worships God, people fall, chairs break. But even while he is worshiping, he is struggling with lust. He sees some people in that very meeting where he is yet worshiping and the anointing is moving. He is lusting over somebody. You can imagine the contradiction. A man is missing while he's yet ministering and the anointing is moving right there where he's ministering. He sees somebody and lust enters his heart. The guy could not understand it. So he came to me and said, brother, pray with me. The cure is function. Jesus must be rooted in your soul to become the Lord and creating system of your life. This one is not exciting. It's something you will sit down alone in your closet. You will practice. You are walking. You will practice. It will take months. For some, it will take years. But you must give yourself wholly to this. While you are here doing what you are doing, you will build a life, a personal way on his building to. You can become the president of the fellowship. You will be living in secrecy. Crying every day, nothing will happen. You want to come for fellowship, you gather scriptures, come and preach it, but you will be an agent of darkness. The reason many people will fall into immorality is because every time you preach, you release the air of immorality. So if you are wise, you will stop preaching. This is why the judgment of the preacher will be more difficult. Because Paul said, "For that we are affectionately desirous of you, we did not only preach the gospel to you, we imparted unto you the substance of our soul." As I'm preaching to you now, if any more, most will leave this thing, and this week you will fornicate. You will not know how, but what you did was you opened your heart to me, and I released negative energy because I will impart to you the substance of my soul. The reason you hear some people you bust prayer is not because they speak gently about prayer. That's an energy that you interacted with. The reason you heard some people, you didn't hear 10 scriptures about righteousness, but you left the meeting, you began to live a holy life. It's because the energy was communicated to you. They suffer so. If you are not built, you can't be witness. If you are not built, you can't be an ambassador. Anything in the kingdom, but not witness. These things are so much of it. And I hope it is emphasized sufficiently so that people will understand that Christianity is not a showpiece. Christianity is not a game of intelligence. Christianity is not a game of excellence. Christianity is not a... It's living and expressing a spirit. And that's what life is about. If you are not living and expressing Jesus Christ, you are not doing the will of the Father. Jesus must emit out of you like a radiation. Anybody comes out your ray must be choked with what is flowing out of you. This is what it's about. It's not about you know a few scriptures, you can tell people you are saying it so much, you know, simplicity and intelligence or veracity of language, dexterity, and then people are wild. No. It's a shame that a fornicator sits under you for a fornicator. You have not done it. You have not done it. It's a pity that a drunk sits under you for 2 months, preaching and shouting, but calling the end time, you are calling the fire. And the person remains like that for 2 months. You have not helped the person. A blind man is with you for 1 year. You are talking about the power of God is blind. You have not helped the person. We must cause transformation in people from soul to body to circumstance because we can communicate Jesus. If we are weighed on the balances, we'll be shocked. Most of us who are preachers, fellowship friends, we will go back to the last row. Maybe we go back and start cleaning chairs. Not because cleaning chairs in church is slow, but because God will need to break us afresh, because the basic things of walking in the Spirit may not even have been achieved in our lives. Simple things. I know preachers, a lot of preachers that preach prayer all their lives, but never pray. I know a lot of preachers that talk about a place, a prayer, but they never study. Shuffle mess and preach. Never. I know people that talk about God, they've never heard the voice of God. The Bible says, man that despises instruction, we dwell in the congregation of the dead. Everything around your life, we die. You will not know why. You will know so much. You will talk so much. Have you not seen people like that? They say, we want to do this. They come out with 5 ideas. They say, we want to do this. They can tell you how everything works, but nothing works in their life. Because they are not practitioners of what they know. Some even disciple people to become mighty men of God, but they remain where they are. Because what they are teaching, that they don't do it. That's one of the crises of this young generation. We are looking for platforms. We are looking for pulpits. So that we come, we talk, we give people instruction that we don't practice. And then you teach somebody about word of knowledge. Tomorrow he's flowing in word of knowledge. You can't. Because the same thing you are telling him, you can't engage it. You are talking to people about holiness. You are living in sin. We must first of all eat these things. Let it become our lifestyle. Let it become who we are. Because when the princes of darkness come to check you out, it's not what you are saying that they will look at. They will check you. You. Jesus said, the prince of this world cometh to me, not to my teachings. He cometh to me and findeth nothing. Witnessing. In the name of Jesus. So let me use the next 10 minutes and recap quickly. And then I'll use another 10 minutes to give you some of the nuggets that I have in my heart this morning. And then we'll begin. So yesterday, hallelujah. Don't mind me. That was body. I was body. Please don't allow the devil waste this period of your life. This is the most significant aspect of your life. I'm telling you the truth. You see all these big men we call papa, papa. You grow up, you met them doing what they are doing. You think they are doing it because they are mature. Most of them started when they were 17. I heard that in 1979 now, sometime around that period, Bishop Oyedepo called for a national fast in Nigeria for 3 days. He is about 66 years old, right? Or thereabout. 1979, 89, 99, 2009, 2019. That's 40 years. Remove 40 years from 66. At the age of 26, the man was calling for a national fast for Nigeria. Do you see where he was operating 40 years ago? You are 24, you say you are a small boy. Meanwhile, at the age of 17, they defeated Goliath. Anything you can't do now, don't think you will wake up at the age of 30 and start doing it. You are joking. Showing forth what he has mastered. In 1985, he came for a conference, he organized a meeting. Meanwhile, his first crusade was in 1980. That's like 39 years ago. He is about 55 years old. If you remove 39 from 55, how many years is that? So his first crusade was as a teenager. And in 1985, he came for a meeting, a miracle meeting. Now you see him in healing school. When he comes out, he doesn't preach. He just goes and says, out, out, out. You think he started it now, he's doing it now because he's wearing white suit. Go and buy white suit. The first day you wear that white suit, a demon possessed will slap you. See, I've seen these things. We organized a deliverance session for a lady. And this guy came. Deliverance is not by size. It's by authority. It's by what? Authority. He showed up. Hey, hey. Casted out demon. Casted out. And when he was declaring things, the next thing, the lady gave him a slap. And the guy said, what? You slapped me. He came back. So, you see why the lady slapped him? No compassion for the demon possessed. He thinks deliverance is a show. He walked like this. I said, ah! Pastor Chris came out in 1985 for a miracle meeting. And then he said, everybody that is sick, come out. And when they came out, you are healed. And then his friends were like, you won't pray for them. He said, no, you are healed. And then they thought it was a joke. The man that was with his stick, he went and collected it. And the man started walking. The place erupted with power. He's not doing what he's doing now because he's wearing a white suit. Excellence is needed because there is a dimension that kings recognize. But you need to be built before. Some people want to appear in a way that, no, kings, they will see the brightness of your rising before them. So if you begin with a white suit, when you have not built Christ in your spirit, there will be challenge. Because the day kings come, that's when you will betray your destiny. You will follow these instructions for years. Hallelujah. So, 5 minutes recap, and then I'll share what I have to share this morning, and we'll be done. We began yesterday by stating the fact that in kingdom business, there are three categories that Jesus places us. The first category that Jesus places us in are those that seek Him to come into the kingdom. These are the ones that God gives everything on the strength of their believing and their faith. So they receive from God. That category is for the outsiders when they are brought into the kingdom. So you come in, God gives you health. God gives you everything that you need that is in Christ. He makes you His righteousness. Everything is given you on the strength of justification. So Nicodemus came to him in John chapter 3. He said, we know you are a teacher, come from God, for no man can do these things that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus told him, for you to do these things I'm doing, you have to first of all come into the kingdom. So the first category people in the kingdom are the ones that are invited into the kingdom to receive all that God has to. But I said, we don't stop there. At that level, you are not a witness. That's why there are many believers today, many churchgoers, who are not witnesses. Because all they know is to receive from God. They perceive the kingdom, they take from the kingdom. What brought the man was the thing that Jesus was doing. We know you are a teacher, come from God. For no man can do the things that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus revealed to him, for you to be able to do these things, to receive of these things, you must come into the kingdom. These are resources available to people who are citizens of this kingdom. But that's the lowest level of living in this kingdom. The level where God accepts you. And you can receive everything from God. But unfortunately, a lot of people dwell there for a lifetime. Every time you hear them pray, is give us this day our daily bread. Every time they come to God, they are making one request or the other. They live for themselves. They are in the kingdom, but their operating system is still self. They think because they are approaching God through prayer, they are spiritual. They are self-centered. They are self-ruled. They are carnally minded. No matter how spiritual you make it appear, if all you go to God for is to lavish on yourself, you are still self-ruled. The devil can take you out any day, anytime. That's a man that his operating system is still lost. These are the type that John will say, love not the world. They are the children of God, but their love, their lust, their affection is still the world. So you hear them give testimonies from January to December. It's all about the things they receive from God. God just blessed us with a new car. We trusted God for contract. and the contract came. And now there are many ministries that are out to attend to the needs of people. Keeping them within the boundary of self, never be delivered from self, so they will never be relevant in the kingdom. They go through many spiritual routes and you think they are growing. They are not. They only master how to receive from God and they lavish it on themselves. You see the sister praying, oh, oh, oh. You say, oh, there's a revival in this sister's life. And then when you come to join faith with her, she's praying for husband. Now, is there anything wrong with it? No, nothing. And I advise you, start praying that prayer now that you are young. And while you are praying it, keep yourself for your husband. Don't go for club and then come back because there's revival meeting. Pray for it now. Everything you need, you have the right to receive it from God. There's nothing wrong with it. But it's a level in the kingdom. The Bible says, tell them that are rich in this world to be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, that giveth to every man liberally, that he may enjoy. So God gives us to enjoy. There's nothing wrong in receiving from God to enjoy. But if that is all you do, you are self-centered. You are self-ruled. Unfortunately, a lot of people live there all their lives. You say they are giants of faith. Go and check. They are only receiving. They can't grow. They can't see beyond their needs. They can't see beyond their senses. Every time they take a spiritual pathway, it is for their needs, it's for their senses. The farthest they can see is the boundary of their necessities. The boundary of their needs is the farthest they can see. These ones will remain babes in the equation of kingdom realities. They may be Christians for 50 years, but they'll be babes. Some are even apostles and prophets, but they are babes. Because they don't understand the heavy matters in the heart of the Father. That level is a place in the kingdom. So, two people can be doing the same thing, but they are not the same in the kingdom. You can have a prayer partner. Both of you are praying every day for 10 years. Both of you will be different in spiritual authority. You'll be different in spiritual ranking. That's why we start in the same fellowship. At the end of the day, God separates us into ranks because of where we perceive from the kingdom. You will be praying with somebody for 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. If you check the catalog of his prayer list, everything on that list is about himself. Meanwhile, the second man praying migrated from self and he began to engage with other things that is bothering the heart of the Father. He has proved. He has been promoted. His authority level in the spirit have changed. You may not see it in the physical. Give them time. It will be different. If all we ask for, if all we pray for is for self, we can't be witnesses of Jesus. You will think these matters are a man trying to be an extremist. There are certain instructions God cannot give you. It's a waste. You will hear God, no argument about it. But every time you hear God, it's about bread and butter. When God wants somebody to go to Afghanistan, when God wants somebody to go to Europe, your name will never be mentioned. God is not biased, but you don't have what it takes to witness at that level. This is why many people smuggle their way to different countries in the name that they are prophets. At the end of the day, they are deported back as criminals. The prophetic oil is real, but they are babes. All they see in people's lives are the things they can receive. So 10 people come to the prophet to pray for them. They first of all weigh them by their dressing. And they check the cars that they brought. They see their wristwatches, their belt and their shoe. And then you will see prophet meet 10 of them. God bless you, God bless you. But when it comes to the rich man, he wants to move in word of knowledge. And after the meeting, the rich man will meet him in the office. But 10 people came with needs. He doesn't care about the kingdom. He's interested in what he can receive. So it's only rich ones that see the prophet after the service. The poor guys that have legitimate need, he doesn't care about them. There are people that have callings. Come to these guys
to receive direction for their calling, the prophet has no time for him because he doesn't have prospect. Meanwhile, these people that came to you today will see past. Tomorrow are the revivalists that will change the next generation. But the prophet, he doesn't care. He can't see that. All he sees are prospects in people, so that he gives them word of knowledge and his account is credited. They are babes. They are teenagers in the Holy Spirit. The people that come into kingdom because of what they want, God accommodates them. But if they don't migrate, they will remain babes. When you go back, edit your prayers and check, you'll be amazed that since you have been praying for this year, since this year began rather, you have never prayed for this state. You have never prayed for this country. You have never prayed for the move of God. You have never prayed for those who are fornicating. You have never prayed for the godlessness of this campus. It doesn't move you. You can't feel it. You can't even perceive it as a body. You are praying quite all right. You are a spiritual person. But you have never perceived the godlessness of this campus as a body. It doesn't even occur to you. Even your immediate friends that are clubbing and fornicating, it has never occurred to you to kneel down and cry for them. It is not part of your DNA. The reason is because you have not migrated in the kingdom. That's where you are dwelling. Your immediate friends are living one tomly. You are not moved. But you attend all the programs, you attend the religious, you think you are growing spiritually. Your growth will be trapped at the level of a receiver. You are a consumer in this kingdom. God can't commit things to your hand. When we talk about kingdom representation, your name will not be numbered. You can attend every meeting. God will come and pick people. When they come, they will jump. The reason is because even if it is committed to you, it will be a waste. So, how many times have the Holy Ghost put a body in your heart and failed to attend to it? But when exam comes, this is why we are not relevant in the equation of God. We are self-ruled. So we said, for kingdom to be advanced, Jesus must become what? Our operating system. He must be implanted in us and manifested through us. Not just in the miraculous or as a sign that gives credence to us, but to satisfy the will of the Father. The second level Jesus revealed are those who are with him. These ones have left everything. Go and read your Bible. Every time a man comes to Jesus, Jesus will tell him, leave everything. Is it because God abhors greatness, or is it because God is against your prosperity? No. But you have to leave everything and receive him first before you can take everything. If not, if you take everything, everything will become God. So everybody that came to Jesus, he stripped them of everything they have. The place where you begin from is the place where you are stripped of everything. If you cannot be stripped of everything, if you cannot let go of everything, you can't receive all of Jesus. So everybody that came to him, he told them to let go of everything, because what he wants to give them is the kingdom. Every other thing they have will become a distraction. For the kingdom to be advanced, they must let go of everything. And when those ones stayed with him for who he is, those are the ones he said, the kingdom will be built upon. So you migrate from a citizen of the kingdom to become a representative of the kingdom. That's what we called yesterday the ecclesia. That one was not for the 5,000 people that he fed. Those ones have gone home. It's the 12 that stayed with him. The 5,000 came, ate bread, went home. The next morning, they were looking for him and entering boats. You will say, oh, these people love God. When they came to him, he said, he called them a perverse generation. So you come back for bread again. You will think they love Jesus. They will be with him the morning to evening. When night comes, they migrate back home. So the believer is following God. You say he loves God until God gives a hard instruction. That's the night time, he will migrate back. That one cannot represent this kingdom. Every time night comes, he runs away. He comes back in the daytime for his deep bread. It is the one that stayed with him. Those are the ones that can tap into heaven. And when Peter tapped into heaven and caught the revelation, he said, upon this revelation I will build my church. Those ones have migrated from being citizens of the kingdom. They are now embodiment of the kingdom. They are not only in the kingdom, they can now carry the kingdom. So when you touch them, you touch the kingdom. They bear Christ in their body. The mark of Christ is upon them. And the first proof that you are carrying the kingdom is not just that you have the ability to do one or the other. Jesus said the gate of hell shall not prevail against you. So this was the fight to defend the kingdom. They can engage in warfare for the kingdom. Their warfare is no longer about themselves. It's no longer about, I need bread. Why is bread not coming? Why car not coming? No. They now defend the kingdom. They engage the gate of Hades. A man who takes bread, if he goes to the battlefield, he will faint. He will be destroyed. That's why Paul, he didn't begin with warfare. He taught them everything God gave them, everything they were in Christ. He now say, finally, my brethren. This one is not for everybody. Finally, my brethren. He said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Jesus has been installed into you as an operating system. You can defend the gate of hell. The guy is a preacher. He's a Christian. But for 10 years, he is in one addiction. It's the gate of hell. He can't witness. Family is in darkness. Nothing can be done about it. It's the gate of hell. Different philosophies, different operating system, no witness. Jesus said the ones who stayed with him, those are the ones that can carry the revelation of the ecclesia. And then when they stayed with him, he now migrated to the third level. He now sent them out. And when he sent them out, he didn't send them out as preachers. He sent them out as martyrs. The word witness, the word was a martyr. So everyone he is sending out is the one that has come to the level where he can die for what he believes. This is why we are in the kingdom. We are all in the kingdom, but we are at different levels. Some of us are at the consumer level. Some of us are at the representative level. Some of us are at the sent level. So you can be a citizen, you can be an ecclesia, and you can be a martyr. It depends on where you are standing because of the depth you have traveled to. And it's the depth you have traveled to that determines what you can do. If you show a babe the principles of prosperity, let me tell you something now. There's nothing wrong with prosperity. The Bible said, I wish above all things that thou mightest prosper, and even as your soul prospereth. So it's the will of God for all of us to prosper. But it's prosperity in me. It does. It's of a babe. When a babe has maybe financial prosperity, for instance, because there are different levels of prosperity. Maybe he has financial prosperity, for instance. His priority will be about the latest Jeep in town. So he doesn't even buy the car because the car, he is buying the latest model. He is not moved about the agenda of God. But the man who is a citizen and at the same time a witness, when he has the money becomes a tool for advancing the kingdom. So both of them has money, but the assignment of the money is different. One of them has the money, but the money he has is the money of God. The other one has the money, but the money he has is the money of the devil. All the clubs that are built in this state are not built by Muslims. They are built by Christians. So the money in the hand of that Christian is what? The money of the devil. Most of the ladies that were disflowered because they attended those clubs. Most of the ladies that their wounds are lost because of abortion and all kinds of things, that hub was where they encountered the devil. But that club was built by what? A Christian. So that Christian is 10 times an agent of the devil than even the guy who is a herbalist in the forest. The herbalist in the forest Maybe he has one customer in 1 week. But the guy that built that club, who is also a believer like you and I, who has Jesus as his savior, but not his Lord.
You know, Jesus can be your savior, but not your Lord.
He has Jesus as his savior, but he has destroyed more than 1,000 young virgins. He is more ranking in the demonic cadre than a herbalist. The herbalist might be doing all the enchantment. This guy may be on suit. He comes to church and sit down decently and is loving Jesus. But he has destroyed more people than a herbalist. He is not just aware that the rating system in the kingdom is not how you dress. So the prosperity is not the challenge. Who are you teaching the prosperity? And who are you committing the prosperity to is the challenge. So when John began to write about prosperity, he said, I wish above all things that thou mightest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. That means according to the scale of prosperity, you are not permitted to be richer than the riches of your soul. You are not permitted to be richer than how much you know God. The day you become richer than how much you know God, you are at risk of being the slave of mammon. So when the gates of hell comes, the gate of hell will prevail against you. So we will teach prosperity, but it will be at the level of your soul prosperity. He said, even as your soul prospereth. Most of us say, if we receive 1 million, our prayer life will die. We don't need a demon to appear to us. 1 million is enough to destroy our prayer life, and we may never recover for a lifetime. 1 million. So the devil will try everything possible to give you 1 million. You will think it's God. See, even the devil maketh rich. The only difference is that the riches of God causes a man to know him more. If the devil knows that the scale of your soul cannot accommodate 500,000, he will do everything possible to land you 500,000. And you will carry that 500,000 and destroy yourself. You are not permitted to be richer than the degree to which you know God. This is why every time men begin to try, begin to push beyond the level to which they know God, they begin to violate righteous principles. The reason the guy lied to get the contract was because that money is bigger than the degree to which he knows God. So he can afford to violate the laws of righteousness to lay hold on that money. The reason the lady fornicated to get the 50,000 to buy the phone or 100,000 to buy the phone is because the level to which she knows God is not enough for her to handle that phone yet. And she will do anything to get that phone. God will not be part of it. Because God will give to her to the degree to which she is rich towards God. So every time you strive beyond the grace that is allotted you to get something, what you are doing is that you are trying to be richer than the degree to which you know God, and God will not be part of that enterprise. Anything you trust God for that God is not yet giving you, don't struggle. Go back and know him more. That thing will come to you by free course. There are many things you will labor to have, you will not have. It is God saving you. The only way you can get that thing at the level of the relationship you have with God now is to violate the laws of righteousness. And many can afford to violate the laws of righteousness in order to receive what they are looking for. And then that thing becomes the reason why they are no longer relevant in the kingdom. I told you yesterday, Paul said, I have learned to abound and to abase. So for Paul, the depth of God that he has is such that he's not moved by poverty. Neither is he moved by riches. Before you can understand the doctrine of Paul, understand his life. A lot of people say things, they pick scriptures out of context and say things because they heard Paul say it. But when you x-ray Paul's life, that's not how he lived it. So you cannot fully understand that doctrine. A lot of people think, I don't know if I can say this because it may cause crisis. a lot of people who are grace preachers today, they think it is an error for you to lack for a season. They think it is faithlessness for you not to have for a season. And when you want to argue with them, they pick the writings of Paul. But if you check the life of Paul, you discover it was not like that. There were times where Paul walked in abundance. There were other times when Paul had nothing. He was compelled to fast. But none of those things moved him. He was established in the kingdom. And a point came in Paul's life. Everything he was clamoring to get was to carry to another location so the church can benefit. That's a man that journeyed from being an ecclesia to becoming a martyr. So Paul mobilized the whole church to sow seeds. He had nothing to do with himself. He carried that seed from one location to another location. It was never about him. He said in Romans 15, around 24, thereabout, he said that I will come from Spain to you by you. So Paul said where even his journeys were sponsored by the churches. Not because he had money and heaped somewhere, but for him to travel to the churches had to pay for his transport. That's a man that is Lord over circumstance. So if you like, give him 1 billion, it doesn't move him. This is why the doctrine of the apostles did not change. They were 500 people. Peter preached one day, they became 3,000. They were rooted in the kingdom. But there are some of us here, the moment we make a big friend, we become like that friend. That friend doesn't become like Christ. We are not rooted. So every principle you are learning is correct. Excellence, prosperity, everything is correct. Financial prosperity in particular, all the principles are correct. But the problem will be administration. Where are you in the kingdom is what will determine what you can handle. If you are not yet rooted in the kingdom, you can't handle anything. Jesus said, do not give precious things to swines. All they know to do is to trample on it. And when they do, they will make a mockery of you. We must make it a conscious thing to grow in the kingdom. It's a beautiful thing that you receive Christ. You came into the kingdom. You know you are justified. It's a beautiful thing. But you must travel to become a witness of Christ in truth and verity. You must travel to become an ambassador of Christ. You must have to reach that level in this your lifetime. When you get there, on the political front, there will be apostles. The apostolic generation is not a generation of people on the pulpit. It's a generation of kingdom witnesses. You can have politicians who are apostles by calling, but they are representing the kingdom in government. Nowadays, when we even talk about the offices, we think it's all about the pulpit. We need many apostles in the business front. We need many apostles in the political corridor. We need many apostles in the academia. Not fivefold, so to say, to equip the saints, but people who are carrying those spirits to go into those territories and to change it. But we must first of all be rooted in the things of the kingdom. This was why I took time to narrate to you yesterday the rigid protocol that you must follow for Christ to be formed in you. It's not something you wake up overnight to become. The men that were able to die for Jesus, they didn't die because it was their destiny to die. No, there is a depth in which they know him. There is a measure of him that they carry. So for them, life itself was no longer a thing to hold dear. Their definition of life became different. So when they died for Jesus, they died happily. It's not because they are stronger than you. There were things they committed themselves to, and Christ kept being formed in them. Paul said, my little children of whom I travail. It's not people I pray for. I travail. It's a different kind of prayer. Of whom I travail again in prayer until Christ be formed. You can be a believer, but Christ may not be formed in you. There must be something you will do for Christ to be formed in you. Those were the things we shared yesterday. When you see a man who can die for Jesus, and you are here, a pin, you can't allow a pin strike you for Jesus. You can't even take hunger for Jesus. They say, let's fast 6 to 6. Around 12 o'clock, you say, Kai, my brother, only the living serve the Lord. My brother, only the living serve the Lord. Oh boy, this thing no easy. Some will come like with things like, a man that fights and runs away needs to fight another day. You can't take hunger for Jesus. The reason is not because the guy who is doing it is strong. You hear somebody comes and say, like, I've been on a fast for 40 days. The first question you ask, is it 6 to 12? You think he's like you. Not everybody is like you. Somebody came and said, I've been fasting for 7 days. You just assume in your mind, yes, it's 6 to 6. It's 6 to 6. Because you can't imagine that somebody can go without water for 7 days. No, you can't imagine it. You are at different levels. The reason the person is doing it is not because the person is strong. I have a friend. She's a pastor in Minnesota. The last time she fasted, she fainted in the bathtub. Now, that's not a recommendation. Because I rebuked her seriously. I said, don't ever try this again. But that's just to tell you the measure of hunger that somebody in the United States of America, that you are dreaming to go so that you stand on the road and snap selfie. A young lady fasted until she fainted in the bathtub. That's the kind of hunger somebody has asked for Jesus. Remember, it's not a recommendation. You will die. But there are many people who cannot as much as bear hunger. So what happens today? If something, they now say, they carry you to a city and you don't have food for 3 days. All your prayer points is, where do I find water? Where do I find water? Your word of knowledge will be activated. All you are looking for is water, water, water. You will start like this and you will pick that there's water 300 meters away by your right. You take left, take right, take another left. There's water. You are flowing word of knowledge now only to find water. Water. Weak Christian. Is that not what is happening in the church? The guy can tell you the color of boxers you are wearing because he wants to wow you to give him a seat. It's water. Word of knowledge now is for what? To find bread. It's bread we are looking for. So we are using gift of the Spirit to find bread. A baby generation. Baby generation. He wants to pray for you. He will quote things and conjure names so that he will feel that the prayer is heavy. Tell you things, heavy things. So that what he's trying to do is to increase the volume of seed. The guy who is talking to you as if he's so interested in you, when he finishes talking and you don't give him seed, that's the last time you and him will talk. Come back again and say, man of God, sir, you think you have a relationship? He will tell them, if you allow that boy come here again, searching for bread and wine, it's a pity. But the man who can reject the pleasures of Egypt is not doing it because he's strong. There's something he knows. There's something he has seen. He can walk away from the palace to go into the wilderness. He saw something. The reason you can't is because you have not seen and you have not known what he knows. If you know it, you'll be shocked that you like this who is so weak. A day comes when you can give out all your dress. It's not what people do and they say, hey, I get to. Sometimes I wonder. Somebody gave all he has in his bank account and he's crying. It's a big thing. When you ask him, well, how much did you give? Hey, my last 15,000. My last 15,000. Some people, that is their lifestyle.
In 1 year, they emptied their bank account more than 30 times. Now, it's not about how much you even have. It's about where you have entered in Jesus. Nothing moves you anymore. Somebody is giving his watch. He's giving that watch. Every problem he has in his life, he ties it to that watch. They come to the altar. They put their envelope. They carry their father, their mother, their brother, their sister. All the problem in their family, they are conjoining it on 3,000 that they want to put on the altar. The guy came from the church. He's sober. You ask him what happened. He sold his phone as a seed. Oh, his phone. He lost his God. And thank God he lost it, because now he will find it through God. Because his phone has become his God. He gave his phone. He will preach for 10 years. He will be telling you the day he gave his handset. The day he gave his handset for 10 years. He has left Egypt. Egypt is still in his heart. The day he gave his handset. Meanwhile, there are people that they gave until they came to their house. They pack all their chairs and gave. They gave. They are not. They don't feel it. It's when they give that they are happy. Before they give, they can't rest until they give. So they gave. They went back. They still felt unrest. They came and carried more and gave. Meanwhile, you, it's after you give that you start crying. Meanwhile, somebody else cannot rest until he gives. You are in different places in Zion. Somebody gives a seed and is crying for 4 days. He's troubled. He can't sleep for 4 days because he gave a seed. Meanwhile, another person can't sleep for 1 week until he gives the seed. You are in different location. But there is something to do to get there. There is something to do. And remember, it's not how much you give. God doesn't judge by how much you give. If he must, it will be the percentage. But it takes the heart of a man that Jesus has become his life to live that life as his lifestyle. There are people that give every day. It's normal. As the money is coming, they say, okay, give this person. There was a need. As it's coming, they say, give this person. As it's coming, they say, give this person. I'm not talking about religious giving in church. It's important to give in church, but giving is beyond church. Because I know a lot of people that a brother is crying for school fees. They will not give him 5 naira. But they come to church and give partnership 100,000. And then they say, Brother Anselm is the biggest partner in this church. His pride, his self, self-glorification is what he's looking for. But a brother is looking for 10,000 for school fees. He can't give him. You are not a giver. Don't deceive yourself. You are a religious man. Because you don't know the love of God. You are not motivated by the love of God. You are living in a room with a brother that has no shoe, who is drinking garri. You go to church, you say you gave offering. Now, your level of offering is 10,000. Meanwhile, somebody is in your room, you can't give him 500. You are not a giver, you are a religious man. You have not grown. Don't deceive yourself. You may be encouraged by the man of God to say, your faith level has increased. It's a lie. You don't know Jesus. Your roommate is literally begging to eat. You don't have the heart to give him. And you carry 2,000. You say your offering now is 2,000. You are a religious man. I'm not saying it's not important to give to God. We should give to God and continuously as a lifestyle. But if we can't give to our brother, the person we are giving to, I doubt if it's God. Most of the things you see these people do effortlessly, there was something they did to get there. The day you want to give 5,000, you want everybody to know. They are building. Money is not complete. You want to add it up. But you want the whole church to know that you are the hero. Jesus said you have your reward. You will be mighty on earth. In heaven, you will be a baby. Because all your reward are on earth. What you don't know is that you have trapped all your reward in time. You didn't allow anything go to eternity. The people who gave 100 naira who they were not known, you'll be shocked that they will have more reward. Because even if their reward is 1%, it went to heaven. You, that your reward should have been 90%, you squandered it in time by receiving the praises of men. What do you do to become? greatest problem of a traveling minister is burden. It's burden. You will carry your message like this. You will go for 3 days meeting, you will not preach it. Because when you come, it's the burden that the Lord puts on your heart you keep talking about. Time is gone. And I felt I will keep it. What I want to teach you today is strategy of advancing the kingdom. Strategies. Thank God there are many preachers. Hear them from other preachers. Just receive these bodies this morning. Hear them from other preachers. You will be blessed. I can recommend some for you. Hear them from other preachers. There are many people that are gifted. Just receive these bodies. I came to teach you about finances, about excellence, about wisdom. See what I'm talking. I have 15 more minutes. So I'll just mention them. Meanwhile, this morning, sorry, it's not... Sorry to disappoint you, honestly. It's not a power meeting. Sorry to disappoint you. But please, carry this burden. Go with them to your heart. And check your life again. Check your life. Are you a hypocrite? Ask yourself, am I a hypocrite? Everything I do, am I motivated by God? Am I a hypocrite? Find out. I told us the 3 things that God does to us in order to bring us to a place where we really grow in the kingdom. I said the first is prevailing prayers. Right? I said the second is what? Sorry? Being rich in the word of God. And I said the third, which is for people, specific kinds of people. All of us at some levels, alright? Because there are certain things we will always struggle with God. The third, which is for any area of disobedience, is what? Is dealings. So that God can break you in order for you to enter. Those times when God dealt with you is the highest manifestation of the love of God. The greatest manifestation of the love of God is not when He gives you a gift. It's when He forces you to enter into your reality. And sometimes He will break you to enter. Dealings. Are we together? So when a man completes this protocol, then it is safe to commit kingdom resources to that man. And there are a few things the Lord gives a man. I will show you a few of them quickly, and then we'll begin to pray. I would want you to please pay attention to these things I want to list to you. It will really, really bless you. Thank you so much. When you have completed, you have gone through the school of prayer, you have gone through the school of the word, and then you have gone through the school of dealings, then the first strategy of kingdom advancement are the bequeathers of God. They are things God gives to you. Those things, you can't take them from anywhere. You don't even inherit them. They are not inherited things. They are things that God gives to you as entrustments. No man can advance the kingdom unless God gives him this entrustment. The first thing God will give you is a name. You will never walk in the fullness of the potentials of a name unless it is bequeathed you. This is why you find many preachers, but only few can do certain things. They have a name. When Jesus passed the test of divinity, something happened to him. The Bible says God gave him a name that is above every other name. At the mention, that name is a signature of authority. There are many evangelists, but there are few evangelists that enter nations like Afghanistan to do citywide crusade. It's a name. It's few men like Benny Hinn that enters there. When they show up, even the government bows to them. When God wants to raise a man up, He gives him a name.
There are certain men that will come here, eh? As I'm talking now, if they just enter this place, everybody will become excited. I'm the one preaching the word of the Lord, but their presence will be stronger influences in your heart than my preaching. If they enter here, you everybody will just start. We were in a conference somewhere, and the man of God was preaching and fire. Boom, 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 boom. Suddenly, another man of God entered through the back. He sneaked in because he knew that if he comes, it would be a distraction. So he sneaked in from the back. And suddenly, everybody began. When he noticed that he was going to distract the meeting, he sneaked out. That was the worst. As he went out, more than 200 people left the meeting. Meanwhile, somebody was preaching the word of the Lord with fire. Jesus! When this man sneaked out, Nicodemusly, over 200 people followed him. And do you know the sight? As he wanted to say no, no, go back, all of them knelt down. Somebody is preaching the word of the Lord. These people just want him to say, God bless you, God bless you. And if possible, let him touch them. It's a name. You can be gifted, but you will not have a name. There are many people who are calling names, forensic prophets, but they are in a village. The worst part is that people will have need. They will go and meet them, they will deliver them, they will still leave them and go back to where they were. There are many, many people, they have list of people they pray for on the mountain. They will call the people by 2 a.m. in the morning. I'm praying for you now. People will say, God bless you, thank you. Meanwhile, another person that you have been calling for 1 month, who will not take your call, is the one you are clamoring for. You go and look for his account number on the internet. You don't find it. You look for anybody that is close to him and you want to send money. He has a name. Names are beyond identification. Names are signatures of authority in the spirit realm. You can be gifted, you can be anything, but you will not have a name. One of the tools of advancing the frontiers of the kingdom is the name that God gives you. That's why even in eternity, when God wants to rank us according to the reward system of heaven, he said he will give you a white stone, and on that white stone he will write a new name. Every time God wants to promote a man, the first thing he does for that man is that he gives him a name. Is a bequeather. God commits it to you as a trust. That your name becomes an emblem of Zion. Whatever you do, we affect the kingdom. So you do certain things and then it becomes a reproach to the kingdom. The reason is because you have a name. But God will deal with you to a level where you are broken before he gives you a name. There will be many preachers in your territory. You will not care about them. Some of them, they open blind eyes, deaf ears, they raise the dead. You go and invite another preacher who will come and he may sing praise and worship and go back. And you will not know why you will bring him again. He has a name. This is why wise men, they don't run around wasting their time. They engage spirits. Because it is spirits that confer names on people. They please the will of the spirit that they are serving. If they pass the test of that spirit, all he needs to do is to what? So give them a name. Peter came to Jesus. He was a reed. Jesus said, no, a rock. Peter became the head of the apostles. He has a name. God will not give you a name as a gift. A name is a reward of service. Is a bequeather from Zion because he now passed the test of witness. And at different levels, something will be happening to your name. There are people praying for invitation now. They are evangelists, highly anointed. They are on all the social media platforms because they think the reason they are not being invited is because they are not visible. Go to TBN. The moment they open your home, people will log out. The reason men are invited is not because they are visible on earth. is because they are visible in the spirit. But what gives them visibility in the spirit is the name that God gives them. And you will manage and trade with your name with great care and wisdom. Because if you lose your name, you have lost half of history. And the devil will fight you at the point of your name. If he destroys that name, you are finished. There are many ministers of the gospel that were shaking different parts of the world, but they did not understand the power of name. So they allowed a dent on their name. And the moment that dent came, a global ministry collapsed. Out of respect, I will not call anybody's name, but you know some of them. Name. The devil will do everything possible to puncture your name and to put a dent on it. It is one thing in life you will guide with everything you have, your name. A minister you revere so much, all of a sudden, he misuses his name. And then the same people that followed him begin to reproach and abuse him. Suddenly, reverence vanished, desire vanished, affection vanished, because the name had been affected. It is one thing you need to guide until you go back to eternity, is the name God has given you. Not the name your father called you, but the name God has given you. He put something on your name so that when you show up, spirits are mobilized. I was telling you yesterday, and this is not being sarcastic. I was only telling you that because you are young people. And you need to learn these things so that you will know how to walk circumspectly in this kingdom. That was why I referenced something about the social media. There are lots of people that think that the reason people are announced is because they are visible or because they have money. It has nothing to do with it. So they go online. You see Bishop Oyedepo post, and somebody comes and say, "This cannot be true. How can he talk like this?" You don't know what you have done to yourself. You have no idea. You may fast and pray for 40 years. And this thing I'm saying, people will argue it. But the people that argue it, check, they will remain small. No great man will argue with what I'm telling you. But go back. If you put this message online, they will argue with this thing. But that's why they give the best rhema in the world, but they have 12 like. But they don't understand. You talk against certain people, you have placed a barrier on your life forever. They have a name. It is God that puts it on them. Even when they do a mistake, pray for them. You go to make a public ridicule of those men, the covenants that back them up will fight you. You are young people. Don't be arrogant. If you need to hold your mouth, hold it like this. And then ask God to help you not to think it. Because even your thought is a voice in the realm of the spirit. That I thought of it, Lord, forgive me. You don't know. You don't. It's only small people that argue with these things. And that's why they remain small. They don't know why. They are praying. They think when they finish 70 days of fasting and prayer, something will happen. I heard something that Benihim shared. I quivered. He said Kenneth Copeland spoke against him in a conference in Philadelphia. And Kenneth Copeland fell sick. After Kenneth Hagin left this world, Kenneth Copeland, I love the way Selman explains these things. Kenneth Copeland is the system that represents faith in this world now. Argue it. Every great man of faith in this kingdom has a connection with Kenneth Copeland, including Bishop David Oyedepo. It is not coincidence. It's a pattern that governs the flow of dimensions in the realm of life. And Kenneth Copeland, the custodian of faith, spoke against Benihim. He didn't know that the same way he represented faith, Benihim represented healing. He fell sick. I'm not telling you stories. These are realities that happen. Kenneth Copeland, the father of faith, fell sick. When you see things that happen with elders, learn so that you will live long. He fell sick. He prayed to God. He is so sick. He knows all the principles of faith. He could not get well. And he asked God, why can't I get well? And he said, you taught my servant Benihim. See, that one is business in deep waters. Babes will not understand it. They will carry three scriptures to counter it. The men that travel into reality, they know what we talk about. You touch my servant Benihim. The angels of divine health and healing withdrew from Kenneth Copeland. With his faith, he fell sick. And he flew from where he was instantly, went to Benihim and apologized. And instantly he was made whole. When you are there, when you are there, when you are there, we share this thing so that we will live long. Next time you want to talk against the father, padlock your mouth, keep quiet. And the one you have thought about, ask for forgiveness. Don't joke with spiritual systems. You will wreck your life with your fasting and prayer. That's why God doesn't give a name to everybody. He will walk on you to a level, then he will put something on your name. When a man has a name, be careful with him. That man can go for a meeting and laugh and sing a song and leave. And then you foolishly and arrogantly go and say, we wasted our time. You don't know what he came to do. He brought his presence into that territory to dislodge principalities. It is 10 years after that you will see the full scope of the coming of that man into that city. I heard a story about Lester Sumrall. A young intercessor was praying for a territory for many years. Nothing happened. There was darkness over the land. And Lester Sumrall was passing through the city in a train. And the train broke down and he came down in the city. Do whatever he did. And when he left the city, the darkness moved away. And the young intercessor was wondering, why did this darkness move the day I did not pray? And God quickly told him that my servant Lester Sumrall entered the city. Even devils are afraid of men that have a name. The sons of Sceva, they went to cast out demons. And the demons told them, in the archive, we know Jesus, we know Paul. Who are you? He will come and say, all of us, we have authority in Christ Jesus. How come you have never casted out a demon? You argue doctrine where you have no reality. You don't even know the doctrine you are arguing. One of the crises of doctrinal error is that people don't know Jesus. So they want to use Bible to explain him. You need to know him as a person. That's when you can teach love correctly. If not, you will not find love in the scriptures. A name, you will guide it jealously with all your life. Until you depart from this realm, you will guide your name. They are ubiquitous, brother. These are tools for advancing the kingdom. They are tools. There are certain places the gospel will never be heard until men like Benihim rise to go there. I told you how God used Priscerulo to open the whole of Greece. The reason you are preaching you are in Ibadan today, talking and shouting, is because some persons opened this land. Many years ago, if you came here, you will be slaughtered. It took men that had names to enter this territory and to shut down idolatry, to shut down traditional powers. You came today, you are preaching, and then you think, I am anointed. Never violate the dignity of patriarchs. You will limit your destiny, your name. These are things you will keep. Oh, if you don't have this thing, forget about kingdom and priesthood. The second thing you reward jealously is your consecration. Never go to a place where you make light your consecration that took you there. I know a lot of people that fasted as a lifestyle until they started having meetings. Till tomorrow, anywhere I go, there's nothing you can tell me to break my fasting routine. There is nothing. You violate your consecration, you are gone. See, You will hang like this and notice that you are losing altitude. Until the same thing you are saying, you are still saying them, but they don't have weight anymore. You will not know why the same messages you are preaching that everybody is looking for, you are preaching the same thing now, even more intelligently. But nobody bothers about your message anymore. The life in your utterance is created in your consecration. The weight your utterance carries is the weight of your consecration. If your consecration becomes light, your utterance becomes light. A lot of people are men of prayer. They pray through the night until God raises them up. And all of a sudden, they are tired. They had back pain. So when they came home, they wanted to sleep a bit. And they sleep for 1 week. You will see yourself like this. You will deflate. It will be like joke. You will deflate. When I was growing up, I noticed some men of God would just come somewhere and sing a song. And then I'll leave that meeting and I will sing that song for 2 weeks. What is happening to me? How come? Some songs, I don't even know the lyrics. I'll go and look for the song online. I will study the lyrics and I will sing that one song that man of God sang for 1 week, for 2 weeks, for 3 weeks, for 4 weeks. I'm still singing the song. What kind of thing is this? A man is so heavy in the spirit that if he says God bless you, it will resonate in your life for 10 years. Weight. Your weight in the spirit is the weight of your consecration. Never violate it. If you make light of consecration, you are finished in this kingdom. Kingdom advancement is a deliberate thing. Many have no consecration. God told you never, 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 never wear trousers as a young lady. It's not a doctrine. It's your consecration. And then you went somewhere, they say, come on, there's nothing wrong with it. The doctrine is very correct. But for you, God told you, say, never wear trousers. So we are not arguing the doctrine, whether it's right or wrong. It's correct. But God say, don't wear trousers. That's my consecration. I know a lot of things God have told me. They are not part of my message. They are the things that will keep me standing in this kingdom. If you violate it, see, men can gang up against you. It will not amount to anything if your consecration is intact. This is why the gate of hell is let loose against somebody. They want to destroy him. They want to destroy his name. They want to fight everything. Their consecration is an insurance. So one of the ways to even ensure your name is by your consecration. They can come up with lies of whatsoever. Those things they wanted to say to destroy you begin to announce you. Before, your reach was 10 million. And then suddenly, that was what happened to Reverend Chris. Around 98-99, Christ Embassy holds meeting in Lagos and they can't fill the auditorium. They now began to accuse the man of God. Oh, everywhere his name went to, people say, but who is this Pastor Chris? And then they come online, they see a young man with white suit. And the first thing they saw, a cripple rose up. So what they used to discredit him became his announcement. He didn't have enough money for publicity. So they were publicized. You don't know how the spirit realm works. Between 98 to 2002, they blew to every part of the world. A man that started his first crusade in 1980. From 1980 to 98. An effort of more than 20 years was replicated geometrically and doubled. And in 4 years, he became a global figure. Rhapsody of Realities entered more than 100 nations of the world as a daily devotional because some people came to fight him. Say all kinds of nonsense. His consecration was intact, and the people fighting him were people in high places. It's not this one that two boys go on Facebook and are writing nonsense. People in high places, they could not destroy him. He became like Mount Zion that cannot be moved. You want to advance the kingdom, your consecration must be intact. Thirdly, your grace. There is something God gives you that is peculiar to you. That is what distinguishes you in the spirit realm. If you choke and violate that thing because you want to become excellent, and copy from here and here, you will weaken the power that it carries. I know this one personally. I got up at some point. Naturally, I don't hear my messages. And the first time I say, let me hear what I was preaching. That was in 2017. As I was hearing, I said, wait, is this English or a dumb English? I said, am I the only person that have accent? Because what I was hearing, I said, how can I be talking like this? I said, no, I will go and improve my language. Now, there's nothing wrong with excellence. Get my point very correctly, okay? I was motivated by external pressure. So I wanted to violate the purity of the fountain from within. We will keep improving because it's very important. But I wanted to carry out a shift because of pressure. So I came and I started, glory to Jesus. You know, the Lord, the more I spoke, the more the place dried. I now knew that for me, I will be a wild horse. What God has put in me can only be expressed if I am a Mustang, because it's a revivalist fire. So everything I do, I must keep it wide, else I have no message. And when you hear, it is the fire from the message that will enter your heart. So I began to check, what are the things that nurture the grace that is upon my life? One of them is to pray in tongues for long before I come to preach. He carried me yesterday. We went somewhere, so we didn't come back on time. While we were in that place, I kept crying. I said, I have not prayed. It's not necessarily because I love prayer. I know how this grace works. The operating system is what? Long hours prayer before preaching. And yesterday, when I wanted to ascend, I lost my voice. So I had to stop and start teaching. And that's why I'm teaching this morning. Because a legitimate activity stole my time. I couldn't pray for long. If I had prayed for long, the grace will blaze like a furnace. You need to know what God has given you that is your own, and learn the spiritual intelligence around its operation. If you know it, everything that comes out of you will advance the kingdom. If I pray before preaching, cut 5 minutes of that clip, put online. Anybody that hears it, the first thing he will say is fire, fire, fire. That's how the grace works. So I have no message unless I pray. And most of the things I preach, they download. That's why I will go to the Bible 5 times, I can't open it. If I open, unless I'm in a teaching series, if I open it, the thing will go down. So I know now that if I'm preaching, I don't read from the Bible. That's how it works. The grace of God that he has put on your life. Know how. Don't try to be another person. You will kill what you have, and the kingdom cannot be advanced through you. You may be a worshiper. When others are doing voice training, your own is fasting. If you fast, see, you can't tell a singer to fast. Your own may be tongues. Wah, 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 wah. And then people are wondering, have you heard Theophilus? Theophilus? Theophilus Sunday is not a singer, he's a priest. Unless you don't discern, I was with him last week, I said, oh God, his job is priesthood. And if he's carrying out priesthood, if he comes out, the voice become like a golden thread that is on a guitar string. Meanwhile, it is not ideal for a preacher to pray in tongues loud and for long. But him, when he prays in tongues for long, then the oil squeezes out of his spirit. Unless he doesn't lift his voice. He's a priest. So he's a singing priest. That's why when they sing, you receive impartation. It's not a... Know the grace of God that is on your life. I know another person's name is Mike Etse. If Mike Etse begins to sing, you will start lying down. Those who are not falling will lie down on their own. The guy runs VG sometimes 30 days in a month. In 3 months, he will go VG for 60 days out of 90 days. Don't let him hold the microphone. We even go for meetings where there is no sound. If he begins to sing, the oil crystallizes. Your very own man here, Lawrence Oyo. Every day here, 72 prayers. That's what works the grace. It's not because he loves prayer so much. Sometimes when you gather, he's servicing his grace. We know how this thing works. See, there's no magic about it. There are definites in the kingdom. When you are young and you are growing, the Holy Ghost will draw your attention to those things. He's teaching you how to operate your grace. And it's your grace that will take, help you take the frontiers of the kingdom away to the next level. You don't know. If Lawrence doesn't retreat or pray in tongues for long, after 3 months, he will be dry. Meanwhile, some people are killing themselves learning the chant. Learning the chant. They think it's about chant. When you are chanting, people will be sleeping. A young man gathered my clothes. He will memorize the whole thing and recite the same thing. I said, brother, go and start praying. Go and start praying first. This is not pride. Every grace has the operational manual. Every grace. The one God has given you, you must nurture it. That's the tool that God will use to advance the kingdom. Nobody in this kingdom has the right to be small. Not one person. Nobody. You don't have the right to be small. Because everything you need is already released. It's irresponsibility that is our destruction. Most of us here are prophets. From the age of 7, before we got baptized, we started seeing open visions. Now that we are born again, we can't see visions anymore. Because we don't do the things that nurture the grace upon our lives. We run to celebrate people. And the Holy Ghost keeps drawing your attention. Every time you come under a thick presence, the Holy Ghost begins to point those things for you. Study the word. Sometimes he even show you the scriptures to read. You never read it. Every time you come under an intense atmosphere, the Holy Ghost begins to point out things. Prayer in the night. Pray in the night. Pray in the night. You can never do it. That's why the grace, which is supposed to be your horn, will never manifest. It is the horn that God gives you that he exalts like the horn of the unicorn. That's the grace of God upon your life. Everywhere you go, the kingdom will never be advanced until you develop that grace. And as you build it, you will see. I heard Pastor Chris say something. He said he didn't know that the globe was so small. Ibadan is very big for you, right? Pastor Chris said he doesn't know that the world was so small. Because he writes Rhapsody. And in one day, Rhapsody goes around the globe. Why? A grace. A grace. They nurtured it, they built it. Most times when God is teaching you how to service this grace, you will die to many things. Some of the grace you have is compassion. But your heart is like stone. So every time you see somebody in need, the Lord will command you to give all you have to that person. The idea is not the giving. He is trying to reach out to your heart. Because what you have in your hand cannot survive, sustain you. It is what he put in your heart that will sustain you. But your heart is like a stone. So he will compare you. You will give until one day compassion will break out of you. That's the day you begin to live. So that grace can advance the kingdom through your life. But you never develop it. You will clap hands for men of God for a lifetime. Whereas you are supposed to be the greatest. But you were never aware. That grace that looks so tiny, if you will build it, you will be shocked. And these things are not doctrine based. They are consecration based. Every one of us here, you know what the Holy Ghost has been telling you. Some of you, it's simple. Study the Bible. Read the Bible. You are hearing a message. You say, read the Bible. You wake up in the morning, read the Bible. Sometimes for 2 weeks, the Holy Ghost says, read Psalms. Read Psalm. You will never. 2 weeks past, he says, read Proverbs. Never. So you are frustrating the grace of God in your life. Because grace can actually be frustrating. These are the tools that God gives us for advancing the kingdom. I'm showing you things before I enter money. Because even the finances, these are the things that bring them. The Bible says, men will come to you, but kings will come to the brightness of your rising. The thing with kings is that they come with gifts. But what they see is the degree of the intensity of your grace. That's what draws them. And when they come, they will bring gold. They will bring frankincense. They will bring myrrh.
They don't come empty handed, they come with gifts. But many people, they abuse those things that God gives them. The grace of God in your life. That's the key to your greatness. Fourthly, your men. He prayed, oh, may your men not be few. You can't advance this kingdom unless you have the gift of men. The Bible said concerning David, he said daily men joined themselves to him until his host became like the host of God. That's why he was mighty. 44 battles he won all of them. Not because he was a great warrior. He had men. When the catalog of the mighty men of David were listed, did you see the wonders they wrought? David himself, when he was supposed to fall in the battlefield, because after he defeated Goliath, his grandson came for him. At this time, David was already old. And the Bible said, what's his name now? Is it Sanobob? I forgot. He came to David in battlefield. He would have slew David until one of the warriors rose and took the man down. So a point comes when even your men are stronger than you. So your glory will no longer be seen in you. It will be seen in the men that you have. That's why men that fight people around who are rising never become big. Today, when you call Pastor E.A. Adeboye, you don't respect him because he's an old man of God. You don't only respect him because he's graced. He's highly graced. But you can't talk to him. His son is Bishop David Oyedepo. You can't imagine talking to him. When you see Bishop David Oyedepo, before you talk to him, you will see Dr. Paul Enenche. You will see Ebiome. You will see the Day Star Apostle Sam Adeyemi. You will keep quiet. When you see warriors standing with a man, you will be careful. That's why the Bible said, when your sons are many, he said they are like arrows in the quiver of a mighty warrior. That man will not be ashamed of the enemies at the gate. The reason is because he has mighty men. The Bible speaking about the mighty men of David, your head will go haywire. Who is this man? He said, Adoni, the Ethnite. Shammah, the son of Agi. Eleazar, the son of Dodo. You know the exploits. Adoni carried a spear, and with a spear he killed 800 men. His hand was cleaved. He defended the whole territory with one spear. A man is stronger than a garrison. Those are the kind of men David had. He was mighty. But when those men came to him, they came as 400 broken and battered men. There is something he saw in them. He saw light. Why do you think men like Reverend Chris Wakilomi are influential around the world? Sinach came as a young girl, a toddler, but he saw a global voice in Sinach. He nurtured it until today. Sinach is one of the three musicians or artists, gospel artists, that have hit more than 100 million likes on YouTube. Three in the world. Everywhere in the world that Sinach enters is a figure. But she kneels down to Reverend Chris as his father. If you come to the music industry, only Reverend Chris can power worship in this world with what he has in his catalog. Because when those guys came to him, he didn't see touts, he saw men. He saw mighty warriors and he invested in them and nurtured them. You can't advance the kingdom unless you have men. There are many gifted people who have no men. They think it's all about them. Young Ito was doing everything in his church until he was struck with cardiac arrest. And he prayed to God to heal him. God said his healing will take 10 years. The reason is because you are too strong in yourself. That was when he developed the cell ministry manual. God gave him that wisdom and he now learned how to raise people that can take responsibility. That's one of the greatest strategies of church growth in the 21st century. It came because Young Icho was struck with heart disease. He didn't know how to take advantage of men and to build them. There are other people that think men are slaves. They are errand boys that they can manipulate their destiny. But wise men who are kingdom functionaries, when they see men, they identify what is in them and they invest until those men are built. Today, what I call ministry is an extension of Apostle Arumi Osar.
Everywhere I go, I noise what he carries, because he has made me who I am by the grace of God. So I'm preaching to you here today is as good as Apostle Aaron Osa is here. You can never identify me in this kingdom without Apostle Aaron Osa. Any nation my name goes to, they trace me back to Apostle Aaron. Men, many great men, nobody is traced to them. So after a while, when their strength departs from them, everything about them ends. But there are people that have eternal dynasty. The reason is because they have strong men. Why do you think history shifted in Africa? Because Bishop Benson Idahosa knew how to invest in men. All of them call his name. All of them. If all you do is to take from people, to kill their confidence and to make them become nothing, you are not a kingdom agent. There are certain people that men run to them with confidence. After 3 months, they destroy their confidence and they become useless. Those men, they do more harm to the kingdom than good. I came to Apostle Arume with arrogance. The first day I met him, I said, I'm a seer. He saw my arrogance, but he knew there was something about this boy. Let's help him. He held my hand like this. He said, you have not started. He said, when you enter your first season, I will tell you. And true to his word, he told me. Even when God told me he wants to begin to announce me, he saw me, he said, He said, the apostolic rod is about to rest on you. He went home again. He came back. He was preaching after 3 days. He said, Mike Roko, God told me to tell you, build word of knowledge, build word of knowledge. Build. Every season, he will come and announce me to like breaking news. It would have been possible for him to look at me and say, this boy is arrogant. Don't ever promote this boy. Watch arrogant people. Never promote them. They are not fathers. See, there are many elders in the body of Christ, but there are few fathers. Because it takes the heart of a father to raise men. I was told that Duncan Williams literally slapped somebody in Benson Idahosa Bible School. They said the most rusticated archbishop came. He said, there is something about this boy. Today, a large percentage of what is happening in Ghana can be traced to him. Great men like Dag Howard Mills are his sons. Because somebody knew how to take advantage of graces and invest in them until they are manifested. When you raise men, your dynasty is immortal. You never grow old. There are men that will never grow old because they have men. They have men. Your lifespan will end with you unless you raise men. But when you raise men sufficiently, even when you are old, they will carry your spirit to the nations of the world. They will carry your voice, the signature in your message. They will carry it to the nations of the world. The reason I preach alignment today is because Apostle Arume Osai is an apostle of alignment. I carry his voice to the nations of the world. I carry his spirit to different territories where I bear witness to Zion. He knows how to advance the kingdom. Men. Men. Apostle Selman preached a message. They called it the gift of men. The gift of men. Many are so selfish and self-centered, they cannot raise men. Because it takes investment to raise men. Many times, the man of God will call me, come and sleep in my house. I will come to his house and he will wake up around 12 midnight to hold my hands and pray with me. That's a married man. Many times, he had meetings and invitations. He will call me and say, Mike, go to this place. Go to this place. Investment. Man. Only people who can maximize the gift of men can advance the kingdom. But you can't unless God has worked on you. If not, when those men begin to rise, you will be threatened. People will come and say, hey, Saul killed 1,000, David killed 10,000, and you want to kill David. That's why Saul ended. He didn't know that David would have been an asset. The David that came under him and rose in the ranks. When David began to rise, he wanted to kill David. The Bible said the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker, but the house of David grew stronger and stronger. David would have been an extension of Saul, but he was jealous. He was threatened by the rising of David. So David's dynasty could not be traced to him. Men. When you fight men, you fight the kingdom. There are many people that see us doing what they are doing.
They think we are small boys. Why is he doing what? What they don't see is that there is a wave that is powering what is happening. This is a move of the spirit. This is not about a boy. It's an ancient spirit crying out of his bowels. You think what we share because we have read so much. You have not seen correctly. Most of the things we share is why we stand on the pulpit that they download from heaven. Because God has put his finger. So we are the representative of the move of God. The move of God that was preached, prophesied and prayed. We are the manifestation of that move of God. It's not a wave in the spirit. They are men that God raises from the cocoons, the backside of the desert. What they prayed and fasted and prophesied, this is one of the manifestations. And most of you here, you are the manifestation of the prayers of the fathers. You are the manifestation of the prophecies of the fathers. You are the manifestation of the impartation of the fathers. But only when men can see that you are a tool in the hand of God, that the kingdom can be advanced. That's why we will first of all die before we extend the kingdom. Man, the last thing God will give you is influence. With influence comes money. With influence comes power. But many cannot manage the glory. They can't manage influence. You will come to a place where the president of your country will come to kneel down before you publicly. But when men don't understand kingdom, when these things happen, they use it for their personal gain. Nigeria is plunging into darkness today. I don't challenge anybody. But if we maximize the advantage of the David that was kneeling at the altar, we would not have been where we are today. I speak in parables. Presidents of nations kneeling before prophets, all they can do is to say, God be with you. They don't disciple them in the way of righteousness because they don't know how to use influence for kingdom advancement. We use influence to build churches. We use influence to build institutions at the expense of the kingdom. The level of influence the church had in Nigeria 6-7 years ago, if we knew kingdom, Nigeria would not have been where it is today. But when we don't see that influence is a tool, the money that comes with influence, the glory that comes with influence, we will abuse it. This is why I have to teach prosperity yet. Because we have not understood kingdom. Prosperity can only work correctly when we know kingdom. It is in kingdom that prosperity is a tool. The Bible said, I wish above all things that thou mightest prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospereth. He said that you may remember the Lord your God, for it is him that giveth thee power to make wealth and to establish his covenant, which he committed to your fathers, even unto this day. Influence. One of the most wasted resources in the church of the church in Nigeria is influence. We waste influence because we don't know kingdom. People become big, they think it's about titles. They think it's about the cars they drive. So even the younger generation, we are taking after the errors. We will not challenge the fathers, but we know what is the mind of the spirit. Now young people want to go to preach. 5 people must carry their Bible. They must have 30 protocol or they will not enter. You are inviting them, they are asking you the car that is taking them. You will snap the hotel and send to the preacher you are inviting. Because the hotel is of standard. And we call it X. Abuse of influence. Men like John Knox sat on donkeys and they drove 2,000 miles to preach to people. That's why their gospel was put in. That's why they were able to change their generation. The Moravian brothers, they sold themselves as slaves so that they could enter into France and preach the gospel. We don't know influence. One of the most abused resources of the kingdom today is influence. The heaviest of men don't know kingdom. So they use influence for self, for gain. And one thing we will not learn is that our dynasties will die the moment we leave. The biggest institutions that were built in nations where men abuse influence, today they are monuments. The same way, if we don't use influence for kingdom advancement, our generation will end with our name. Kingdom. Kingdom. The only time kingdom can be understood and taught is when Jesus becomes our motivation. He will dominate us so much, he will be our operating system, and we will communicate him to our world.